It is a joy to be with you all this third Sunday of Easter. We are right in the heart of the Easter season, third Sunday of Easter. The initial shock of the empty tomb has passed, and now we are settling into the new normal of a world where death has been defeated. One time, an elderly Anglican couple from right here in Newcastle decided to take a holiday to a tropical island to escape the winter chill. They'd been married for 50 years and were a bit set in their own ways. The husband arrived a day early in that tropical island to get things settled. When he got to the hotel, he decided to send his wife a quick email. Okay? Unfortunately, he mistyped a letter in her email address. Okay? That's sometimes happens, right? I remember when I was rector of the church, St. John Anglican Church in Canada. And then I have a friend also who is a rector of another St. John, the Divine Anglican Church. Sometimes he would get my email. So unfortunately, he mistyped a letter in her email address, and instead, his message went to a grieving widow in Sydney who had just returned home from her husband's funeral. When the widow checked her inbox, she let out a piercing scream and fainted. And her daughter rushed into the room and read the computer screen. It says, "To my dearest wife, I've just arrived and checked in. Everything is prepared for your arrival tomorrow." Postscript, P.S. It sure is hot down here. Today, we walk the road to Emmaus. In the Roman world of the first century, walking was the primary mode of transportation, of communication, of connection. To walk 7 miles, about 11 kilometers, from Jerusalem to Emmaus was not just an exercise. It was the space where processing happened. In Middle Eastern culture, hospitality was sacred. Hospitality is sacred. To walk alongside a stranger was expected. But to invite a stranger to stay for a meal in your place was a profound commitment. So by the time they reached the village, the sun was setting. In a world, in the ancient world, where without street lights or security systems, being outdoors after dark was dangerous. So when the disciples say, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening," they are not just being polite. They are offering protection. They are offering kinship. Or in Australia, maybe you may call mateship. So let's look closely at verse 16. "But their eyes were kept from recognizing him." There is a deep theological truth here. Sometimes we cannot see Jesus because we are looking for the wrong version of him. Those disciples were looking for a political savior of Israel who would kick out the Romans. They were looking for a conqueror. They were not looking for a crucified redeemer or crucified carpenter. So when Jesus begins to explain the scriptures, he doesn't start with his own miracles. He starts with Moses and the prophets. He showed them that the Christ was always meant to be a suffering servant. The famous theologian Saint Augustine once said, "The New Testament lies hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New." Jesus spent 7 miles doing a Bible study with those two disciples. And he waited until they were at the table in the simple domestic act of breaking bread to pull back that veil. And this tells us that Jesus is often most present, my dear friends, in our everyday mundane routines. In our dinner tables, in our walk to the shops, in our chat over the back fence with our neighbors. People here in Newcastle know a thing or two about roads. Whether it's navigating the city bypass or finding a park, a place to park, a parking space at Bar Beach on Sunday, you know your geography. An old fellow, maybe this time we'll say from Adamstown, used to walk everywhere. He'd lived through the 1989 earthquake, the closing of the steelworks. He'd seen the city change. One day, a younger block saw him walking home from the shops, struggling with 2 heavy bags. The younger man pulled over and said, "Jump in, Cole. I'll give you a lift. It's a long way round the hill." And Cole looked at him, smiled, and said, "No thanks, mate. If I take the lift, I miss the conversation with the neighbors. If I take the lift, I miss the conversation with the neighbors. The long way is where I find out who needs a hand." My dear friends, like Paul, the disciples on the road to Emmaus were on the long way. They needed the 7 miles to talk through their grief. Sometimes we want Jesus to just sap us with the answers. But Jesus often prefers to walk the long way with us, listening to our hearts until they are ready to hear the truth. To us here today, you are in what many call the third act of life in our senior years. It is easy to feel that your mission was something you did back when you were working, when you were raising your children. But the Emmaus story this morning reminds us again of something different. Mission is a way of being, not just a list of doing. There are so many people in our Newcastle suburbs, young families struggling with the cost of living, teenagers feeling lost in a digital world who are also walking downcast like the disciples, those two disciples. Your discipleship in your senior years is simply to walk with them, to offer the wisdom of your years without judgment. In verse 30, Jesus takes the bread, blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. This is the pattern of our Christian life. We are taken, blessed, broken by life's various trials, and then given as a gift to others. Your own hospitality, whether it's a formal lunch or a quick kapa for a lonely neighbor, is, we may call also, a sacramental act. Last story. During the Great Depression in Australia, there was a nurse named Sister Elizabeth Kenny. I'm pretty sure some of our retired nurses here are familiar. I see people nodding, familiar with Sister Elizabeth Kenny. She didn't have the backing of the big medical boards initially. She worked in the bush, often traveling long distances on horseback to reach children suffering from polio. Yeah, I hear the word polio. She's considered one of the pioneers for our now physiotherapist. She often spoke of the long, lonely rides through the Australian scrub. She felt at times like she was walking her own Emmaus road, full of frustration and rejected by the experts in the city. But she stayed the course. Not well accepted here in Australia, but went to America, United States, and game. But she stayed the course. She listened to her patients. She observed their bodies. And she worked with a burning heart to find a better way to heal them. Because she was willing to walk the slow, difficult path of service, she changed the world of medicine forever. She proved that one person walking in faith, even when they feel unrecognized, can bring the healing touch of Christ to thousands of people. I prepared a part here for the teens and younger members, but they're not here today. But we'll just pretend they're here. To the teens and younger members here today, the Emmaus Road is your road too. You might feel like the church is old or that the stories don't fit your fast-paced world, but look at what happens in verse 32. Were not our hearts burning within us? That burning heart is what you are looking for. It's not found on your computer screen or cell phone screen or likes on social media. That is found in the presence of the one who knows your name and walks beside you when you feel confused about your future. You have a mission to be the ones who ran back to Jerusalem. Remember, the disciples returned to Jerusalem to tell your friends that there is more to life than what we see on the surface. The most important part of the story, my dear friends, is the end. As soon as they recognized Jesus, he vanished. He disappeared. And what did they do? They got up. And again, I repeat, returned at once to Jerusalem. They were tired. It was dark. They had just walked 11 kilometers. But joy gave them wings. So my dear friends, as we leave this service today, we go back to our own suburbs, to New Lambton, to Meriwether, to Mayfield, to Kotara South, Adamstown, right? We go back to our routines, to our doctor's appointments, our family dinners. But we do not go back the same person. We go back as people who have seen the Lord in the breaking of the bread. We go back with burning hearts. The mission is simple. Walk with others. Listen to their stories invite them to the table, and point them toward the companion who has been walking beside them all along. Amen.